are live on Blog Talk Radio for GSU Panther Zone. Today's episode, of course, is called Dark Horse. We'll get into why that's called Dark Horse here in a minute. Welcome to the GSU Panther Zone. I'm your host, Jeremy York. Thanks to Impact Media and, of course, Blog Talk Radio and your GSU alumni and athletics department for allowing us to come on each and every Wednesday to talk about GSU football, baseball, and, you know, there's some other stuff going on. We can get to that as well, especially during the slower season. We're going to talk about the preseason kickoff press conference here in a few seconds, a few minutes actually, where four players, two coordinators, and a head coach, I believe you can figure out who some of those are, all met with the media, myself and many of the other people who have appeared and will appear in the future on this show, to just talk about the season. Up to this point, some things they're working on. Of course, practice just kicked off last Thursday. That was a 6 p.m. start on that. Tad Bateman will miss the year. I believe he tore an ACL. It's unfortunate. He's a lot of fun to watch. I do believe depth-wise, we'll still be okay, but I hate it for Tad because he was really looking forward to this season after the injury last year to his forearm. He was just, you know, wanting to really get back out there and show he could do it. So, get well soon, Taz. We'll be seeing you on later down the road. And, you know, we're thinking about you, buddy. But I do want to tell you, guys asked, and there was a story out, so I'm going to tell you a little bit of what I know. The state added another quarterback to the depth chart. Of course, that's what we teased part of the opener for this show. His name is Jaquez Parks. He went to High Plains Community College out in Mississippi. He's a former Georgia prep player from Griffin High School in Griffin, Georgia. He's eligible this season. That's kind of fun. He's eligible this season, and he actually has 3 seasons of eligibility to play. Meaning if he stays his entire rest of his eligibility, we get him for this year and the following 2 years. Now, he is a redshirt sophomore. He is 6'1", 205. Of course, you cannot teach that. He's going to wear number 2 currently. It's his jersey number. He is out there with the quarterbacks. Not sure where he's going to be in the depth, so that's kind of interesting. Last year in 9 games, he had 1,427 passing yards, 16 passing touchdowns. He threw 4 interceptions, had a passer completion percentage of 55%. He also rushed for 200-plus yards, 208, I believe, and had 5 rushing touchdowns. So he accounted for 1,600-plus yards, 21 touchdowns all last season. So he's kind of another dual threat guy, kind of like Aaron Winchester. You know, with practice kicking off, a lot of you guys also, you know, like to welcome Jaquez Parks next time you see him. He'll be around campus. I think he's, you know, he's already enrolled and all that kind of thing. He's been around. Good to have him on the team. Welcome to the team and to Pantherville there, Jaquez. Looking forward to seeing you out on the field. A lot of you guys ask, and we'll get into, you know, obviously Trent Miles, the head coach, did not give us any sort of answer as far as how the quarterback competition is going, which is fine because coming into the press conference, which we'll get into in a second, my recap of it, coming into the press conference, he had already said in 2 previous interviews that he would not announce the starting quarterback until the day before, which would be September 1st, because kickoff game is September 2nd in the Georgia Dome against Ball State. That's a 7 p.m. start, remember. He's going to announce it September 1st, the day before. Now, currently has, well, technically has 4. He's going to cut that from 3 to 2 pretty soon, I would imagine. If you're going out to the practices, you may start to see some separation as far as who's taking more of the reps and the snaps. And then ultimately from those 2, I believe, I think, you know, I think by Saturday's scrimmage practice, which is this, you know, this Saturday at the GSU practice facility, they're on MLK Drive, southeast part of it as well. I think he'll narrow it down to two after this week. I believe after a week from Saturday's scrimmage game, I believe it's a big one. It's a big fan day. You can come out and meet a lot of the guys. I think there's going to be food. Yeah, come out and check that out. I believe by that point, after that fan day, that we're going to kind of have a general idea who the starter is, or at least know who the final two still are. You know, maybe some scouts from other teams that are trying to check out this kind of thing. Maybe we'll, I don't know if we can give them false information, but maybe we don't answer questions. I don't know. Honestly, I don't know if it's going to matter. If people know who it's going to be, I think the Panthers are going to come out guns blazing this year. It's going to be fantastic. Now, like I said, last Thursday is what I was preparing for last Wednesday while we had a shorter show, and we got done a little early so I could prepare for that and get everything set. Last Thursday was the preseason kickoff conference for the Georgia State Panthers football team. I'm going to kind of go over some of the things here and there, just some of the things the players said, some of the things the coaches said. Ultimately, we'll finish up with head coach Trent Miles. Now, to start off, we got outstanding wide receiver Robert Davis, who is fun. He is a lot of fun to have at these, all these players and the coaches as well, but Robert's a lot of fun. I've had a lot of experience talking to him in previous years, but getting a chance to talk to him at this, he's a real good guy. And on top of that, he's an outstanding wide receiver. He's going to make whoever the starting quarterback is, he's going to make his job a lot easier. But some of the highlights from things he said, we do have some clips later on, maybe in the next couple weeks we'll put those on the broadcast and things they said. Robert Davis, though, said, Trent Miles really teaches this strategy or this concept, and it's what they try to do on and off the field. Start fast and finish strong. And he said that they really put that mantra to work with this receiving core. They all have explosive speed. They all have just tons of speed for days. And they like to finish strong. You don't give up on a route. Try to make the quarterback's job easier, and you try to get open. He also said, when I asked him, how would you describe this receiving core? He said the best word that comes to mind, explosive. Kind of teased that a while ago, but explosive. He said at any point, anybody in this receiving core, even running backs coming out of the backfield, that Keith Rucker, Ari Wirtz, Phil Technip coming off the edge of the line. Any of these receivers, explosive. At any point, they can break out and just fly. It's going to make it fun. It's going to make it a lot of fun. Robert, you know, talked about some of the things they do there, some of the drills they talked about, that they were all working hard. Everybody was trying to protect each other, and that they were, you know, as far as the quarterback competition, that was not for them to decide. They go out and catch passes from everybody. Keith Rucker also said this later on down the road when he was asked the same question. He said, you know, that's above his pay grade as far as choosing the starting quarterback, and that no matter who it was, the weapons they had at their disposal, this season was going to be very, very positive and very great. Up next, we had safety Bobby Baker. He has a lot of fun with these. I think he's just so natural at talking and doing interviews. I don't know if it's just over the years he's honed his skills at it, or he's just such a bubbling personality that it really comes out at these. You know, I would say Keith Rucker's the same way. But the safety Bobby Baker come up, and when asked, does he prefer, when he's playing safety, obviously, Does he prefer being kind of a center fielder, eye in the sky, or does he prefer being in coverage and playing one-on-one, you know, kind of shut down defensive back type role? He said he kind of enjoys a little bit of both. He just likes being near the ball, whether that's rushing, whether that's playing the center fielder out, you know, direction traffic, or whether that's covering somebody one-on-one. As long as he's near the ball, that's where he likes to be. And in this scheme, he says he is near the ball a lot. I mean, think about his first game last year for Georgia State. He had he was responsible for 5 turnovers. Now, he also said when somebody brought that up, I think it was Woody. I believe Woody brought up that he had such a great opening game there that he said, I may have been responsible for 5 turnovers between the fumbles that he caused and the interceptions that he picked up. But he didn't score on either of those, and that's, to him, what he wanted to do more. He wanted to score with those and help the team further. The turnovers were great, but he wanted to score. He wanted to make it easier on the offense so that they relaxed, those kinds of things. I mean, that's a great answer, in my opinion. He also talked about the leadership on the team, and he talked about the other guys that were here at the press conference, Robert Davis and Shawnee Lawrence and himself and Keith Brucker, just all kinds of different people that, you know, some lead by example, some lead with their words, but either way, the leadership on this team, there's so many leaders. It wasn't really a passing of the baton, but in a way, he said last year that Nick, former quarterback now, who's still in Steelers camp, that Nick Arbuckle had kind of taken him under his wing a little bit and showed him the types of ways you can lead and what you can really accent. Just the ways that he could help lead this team once Nick was gone. Of course, next we had Shawnee Lawrence, the defensive end. Now, when asked, what's it like when in high school you're known for being, you know, maybe having big-time stats to being more about the team than the individual of the stats, how defensive coordinator Jesse Minter, you know, will try to influence them. Sometimes this defensive line is not there for sacks. They're there to set up the sacks and plays for the linebackers or the safeties or the defensive backs coming off the corners or through the middle. Sometimes they're the setup guy. You know, a lot of people don't think about the big assist leaders in the NBA. You don't think about the Steve Nashes and you don't think about the John Stocktons all that much. You just remember that Malone or Shaq or, you know, somebody, a Sean Kemp or something, who finished all the time. You don't necessarily always remember the guy that passed him the ball. Well, on here, they say it's not about notoriety and it's not about trying to pad stats or something like that. It's all about the team. If that means they're the ones who are the setup on this so that somebody else can run through, one of these linebackers, or if Bobby's coming through the system, then that's their role. You play your role. Maybe on the next play you are the one rushing. Maybe don't get a chance to rush all the game, but they're okay with that. It's about the overall goal, and it's about not giving up the points and the yardage. In fact, the defense last year was one of, between the year before elite and last year when compared year to year, I believe they were in the top 10 or maybe top 5 of the entire country of college football as far as most improved. And the last half of the year, I think they were averaging off only like 200 yards total, something like that. It was some ridiculous stat. And Shawnee just said that at some point it all started to click. Everybody was on the same page. There was no magic formula. Coach Minter talked about that later as well. It wasn't really like a light switch. It's just everybody kept their head down, kept working hard, and then it worked. So, it was fun talking to Shawnee. I hadn't got a chance to meet him up until this press conference. And after talking to him at the press conference, it's a shame I haven't got to talk to him until now. The guy's a killer, just killer performer, killer guy. He's got a great personality, you know. And whether the judges agree or not, I'm pretty sure Shawanye won the slam dunk contest that was on Twitter earlier this year over people like Taz Bay, I believe. Robert Davis was in that as well. Shawanye, I thought you won. So, you know, congratulations on that. It's a good way to unleash his hashtag Inner Panther. Remember, we're doing that. Hashtag Inner Panther. InnerPanther. Unleash your Inner Panther. Next up, we have one of my favorite guys on the team. He's always so much fun, and we'll get into some things he said here in a minute. But tight end Keith Rucker, I think he's one of the biggest spoken leaders on this team, not to mention what he does on the field, but especially off the field. He's like a student ambassador, gives tours when he's, you know, when new people show up. He does a lot of stuff, always working hard. He talks about the key traits for a great tight end, in his opinion, are hands and being able to block. He said that may sound, you know, basic, and that may sound, you know, kind of plain or you know, just basic, I guess. But it's what it comes down to, the fundamentals. Are your hands in the right place when you're blocking? And do you have great enough hands to where you're not dropping passes, you're catching them, you're bringing them in when you need to, you know? And, of course, with blocking, it's knowing that you need to sacrifice yourself to make sure that somebody else is open on that play. Or, you know, if you're supposed to block on that play, then you're not a receiver. You act like a blocker, you do your blocking assignment, and if everything goes right, you score. The team scores, which is what matters. He also talked about one of his favorite things about being a part of the GSU Panthers is all the visits they take to the Children's Hospital. He said it makes him feel really great inside. He loves getting to talk to these kids who, you know, sometimes the biggest ambition is just to know that somebody else out there cares. He said he really enjoys those. If he had more time, he would do a lot more of them. But they go to quite a few because our Panthers do a lot of charity-related things. And, you know, it's just great they get to do that, the way they give back like this. And then I asked him what I thought was just going to be kind of a cool question, and it turned into one that had everybody laughing pretty well, but not because I asked the question or what even the question was. It was by far Keith's response to this. I asked him, this press conference happened at the GSU practice facility, like I said. I asked him, what is his favorite part of this facility? What's his favorite part of this facility? I mean, there's all kinds of different things, you know, the fields outside, the locker room, the cold and hot tub they have in there, the juice bar, smoothies, stuff like that. I mean, all kinds of stuff. But when I asked Keith Rucker, what is your favorite part of this facility? He said the training room. Why did he say the training room? He said because he spent a lot of time there recently. And, of course, that's what got everybody laughing, because he did have a couple injuries where he got banged up a little bit last year. But he also says he spends time in there now. They do a lot of preventative things. And when he's in there weight training, they're working. There's a different style program to prevent him from getting the same type of injuries he did last year. You're going to get banged up. It's a contact sport. And you know that. But he said they do a lot of preventative stuff to help prevent the injuries from happening to start with. And if they do that way, they're minimalized because you're already prepared for them. But it was just funny to hear him say training room because he spent a lot of time in there. And like I said, it had everybody in the room laughing. I'm sure a lot of camera guys got edited out of the video feeds and such because everybody was laughing pretty good. And thanks to Keith for that hilarious line. They had tons of truth to it. Up next, we got to talk to the offense coordinator, Luke Heward, who was sporting the playoff beard, actually. If, you know, if this would have been hockey, he had a killer beard going. He was on his way to one, at least. Of course, it'd be clean shaven, more than likely going into this season, but he was enjoying the camp beard and pulling it off pretty well. Now, he wouldn't answer the quarterback question. Particular handful of media members were asking. not going to say which ones. They know who they were, and they tried everything in the world. They tried rephrasing. They tried coming in from the backside of a question, all kinds of stuff, and that's the reason why these guys are pros. Now, wouldn't say anything about the quarterback competition. He said that he's putting them through, he pretty much said what Trent Miles said as well, the head coach, is that they had three at the time. Coach Miles hinted towards the fourth that I just talked about, Jaquez Parks. But Coach Heward said that his scheme, based off the personnel they have, he goes, modifies his based off the personnel. He doesn't keep one scheme and make everybody fit it. He fits them up into the players he has, which is, to me, the way to do it. He said this year they're going with more of a up-tempo spread with as much of a balance as they can. With all the running backs, even missing Taz Bateman, with all the other running backs in there, Kyler Neal, Glenn Smith. I know I'm forgetting a few. I feel bad for that. But all the ones we have there, we're finally going to have some good depth at running back. We're going to have an opportunity with all the different skill sets to run them different times, different ways. We've got a killer offensive line. I'm led by center Gabe Mobley. I think this is the year we're really going to see a balance for the first time since Coach Miles got here, which is really the way he likes to run things. But Coach Heward definitely talked about quickening the pace a little bit, getting the conditioning up. We're not talking Oregon style where there's 75 plays in a quarter or something like that, but more up-tempo to speed things up, to keep matchups on the field when you have a good matchup. And they're going to really spread the field because when you have a receiving core like this on top of the running backs, wow, sky's the limit. Sky's the limit. Definitely going to make it easy on Connor Manning, Aaron Winchester, maybe Jaquez Parks, Amir Scaife. Any of those guys, whoever it is, maybe there's a fifth. Who knows? And he also said, when I asked him what was one of the main key components to having this style of offense this year, and he said it really starts up front with the offensive line, and he felt extremely good, extremely great about this offensive line and their ability to set up blocks and set up running lanes for the running backs, and also to give pass protection for whichever quarterback happens to be back there. You know, it's not saying it's not a two-quarterback system. Who knows? Of course, that brought up defensive coordinator and new dad, Mr. Jesse Minter. Of course, we congratulate him on that. It is fantastic to hear that Mom and baby are doing fantastic, and that Jesse is still getting a little bit of sleep. Means your kid must be a football fan. We talked to him about his scheme and the type of scheme he was wanting to run this year. He also said the same thing. He kind of echoed what Coach Heward said, except for he said with the defensive personnel he had, he wanted to kind of do different shakeups and looks and wanted to kind of give some wrinkles in some main schemes they had there and to really kind of sometimes have a little bit of organized chaos. I'm kind of paraphrasing that. Those are my words, not his, as far as organized chaos. But he's saying, you know, times when the defensive line will be able to set up great sack ability, great rush from the second and third line, the defensive backs and the linebackers. He said there's times when the linebackers can drop into coverage. There's times when the defensive back can move up and play some one-on-one, leaving somebody like Bobby over the top. There's a lot of different looks they can give, and it really just depends on the team they're going to play against, but be excited about this defense. Now, I ask him, how do you convince a defensive line that it's more about the team over the stats? You know, something similar to that we had asked Shawanya earlier. And I said, you know, how do you convince a defensive lineman who may have been a sack master or just a defensive disruptor in high school? How do you convince him to maybe be the setup on a lot of plays as opposed to getting a free rein to rush when he wanted to or if he had a good move, that kind of thing, while still making people notice what they're doing? And he brought up that Shawanya Lawrence makes on all kinds of lists and preseason list, postseason list, during the season list for being a great defensive end, even though his sack totals may not be as high as some of the other guys in the Sun Belt, even in college. He says you really do have to teach the team concept over the stats and let them know that the stats will come when you act as a team, when you do act as a team. And, you know, he was great just talking about the different components. He's talking about that it's a lot of fun. Kind of echoed a little bit of what Bobby Baker said earlier. Forgot to mention this. When I asked Bobby what was one of the deepest or most exciting groups on the field, he said the defensive line. Jesse Minner also said it starts up front. Everything in this scheme starts up front. Some other thing, you know, it's not saying that the linebackers or the defensive backs don't factor into it, but if the defensive line can get the rush and do the things they need to do, it makes the whole thing so much easier. You can, it leaves free rein for, you know, a safety or a corner to go one-on-one with somebody knowing that, you know, you just have to hold them off for a short while. If a defensive end or a nose tackle can't get enough pressure, it puts more pressure on everybody behind them to have to cover longer. It's a lot harder to run with a fast receiver for 7, 8, 9 seconds sometimes because you can't get enough pressure on a quarterback to make him throw. If you can make him throw too soon, it's a lot easier to get turnovers, especially interceptions, for that very reason. But it was great talking to Coach Minner. We look forward to a great season, and should be a lot of fun. Now, of course, that left us to the star of the show, the head coach, Mr. Trent Miles. Now, he did praise the practice facility. He said he enjoys the whole having that, you know, access to some of the facilities that they do. I asked him how much of a difference that facility has made on the development of, you know, the young team and the great student athletes they had, and he said it's made a world of difference. Not that the facility before was bad or not good enough, but having access to up-to-the-date, just cutting-edge technology and machines and, you know, different techniques had prevented a lot of injuries. It had helped them rehab injuries a lot faster, and, you know, just overall, they've gotten better as a team. They're able to bond. They can all fit in the same areas, and there's more of a camaraderie because they're closer. Once again, like I said, he would not let the cat out of the bag as far as a starting quarterback. Once again, though, I say in two previous interviews, he said he wouldn't name it until before. So we weren't that worried about it. But kudos to those who tried to get an answer out of him, even though it was unsuccessful. Now, obviously, no matter how many times or how much we pressed on what he's seen so far in the offseason, he said he has not seen any of the quarterbacks throw. This was right before the first practice. He said he's not allowed to, which he's not, and that he's only seen them in the weight room and the film room as far as the rest of the team. And from what he saw, though, everybody was on or ahead of schedule. Everybody was in good shape. There wasn't a whole lot of things to, you know, really worry about. He did say the one injury at that point was Jonathan Effetti, the wide receiver, freshman wide receiver. I don't know if he'll get a medical redshirt yet or not, as far as that. But he did have a wrist injury. He didn't think it was very major. He thought it was kind of minor. And that he should be fine and back on the field pretty soon. But he would know more about that later on in the day. I haven't heard any updated as to that yet. But as soon as I do, I will let you guys know. Now, he did say, thanks to our good buddy Doug Robertson from the AJC, who asked, did anybody change positions in college? A lot of times you recruit an athlete. Maybe they can play 4 or 5 positions. Maybe you can get them to play a position they've never played before. Well, that's exactly what's happening with Kai Anderson. Kai Anderson's going from running back to cornerback. They feel that his skills are better at the corner position. He's a better defensive back. And, you know, wish Kyle the good luck in the world at change of positions. I believe he has played a little corner before. In high school, he may have played both. And I think Kyle's going to do great. And it just adds that much more depth out in the corner. It's going to be a lot of fun. Now, things you do need to know. Like I said, this Saturday, that practice is, well, let's just get the schedule out. We got a schedule here that will tell us. Here we go. Today's August 10th. They already practiced. Tomorrow, August 11th, is Thursday, 9:15 a.m. at the Georgia State practice facility. They will be there for a couple hours. They do about a 2 or 3 hour day mostly, I believe. And they can go in and do some stuff. But as far as outside practice, pretty much what they do. Thursday, Friday, and Saturday of this week, they will be there at 9:15 a.m. Sunday, they're off for a recovery day. Usually means they're in the film room, or, you know, sometimes they actually get an offense. Kind of rest everything. Starting next Monday, 9:50 a.m. on that one. Then Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, they're at 9:15 again. Friday is a recovery day. The following Saturday, a week from this Saturday, like I said, this Saturday is a scrimmage, I believe, that starts at 9:15. Saturday, August 20th, is that fan day I was talking about at 11:15 a.m. over there at the GSU practice facility and the K Drive SC. But that is a little bit kind of like the spring game to a point, but more of a practice scrimmage than it is like full-out game situation, I believe. But then, like I said, they're off the Friday before and the Sunday after. That starts at 11:15 a.m. August 20th. Pretty good chance I'm going to be there because, you know, when you really get a chance to get your eyes on these guys, you can watch all the film you want, but when you get your eyes in person, you get to talk to people like Ben, Rashad, Doug, Woody, David, Jared, all the suspects. A lot of times they see things that I don't see, or I'll see something they don't see. Of course, out for the better when we collaborate. Of course, after the recovery day, that following Monday, the 22nd, they're at 9:30. They're also at 9:30 a.m. Tuesday. That Wednesday, 9:50 a.m., and they will finish up Thursday at 9:15 a.m. That Friday, the 26th, they have not determined yet, and beginning the game week will be that Sunday. So, you know, if you get a chance to go to some of these practices, definitely go check them out. There'll be a lot of cool stuff going on. But, told you about the dark horse, Jacquez Parks. I'd like to get my eyes on him and maybe get a chance to speak with him for a second. I'm going to try to get up there in the next some of these next practices and just try to feel him out a little bit, maybe get a chance to talk to some of the other guys on the team, see how things are going. We'll have to see how the dark horse goes. But that's going to do it for me this week. Appreciate Blog Talk Radio and Impact Media for allowing me to come on each and every Wednesday. Well, I know we started 30 minutes later today, but each and every Wednesday right around 7 p.m., Eastern Standard Time. See you guys next week. Thanks for joining me for GSU Panther Zone. We'll see you next week. Same Panther time, same Panther channel.
Oh, it's funny because it's true.